This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A new CNN USA Today Gallup poll finds American support for the war has retreated from the higher levels coincident with the capture of Saddam Hussein last December and is essentially back where it was last fall. Today, Americans are evenly divided on whether it was worth going to war at all, and more people disapprove than approve of the way George W. Bush is handling the situation in Iraq. The poll finds 49% of Americans saying the war was worth it and 49% saying it wasn't. The public's approval of the way Bush is handling the situation in Iraq has also declined in the wake of the Kay Report and Democratic criticisms. Just 46% approve, while 53% disapprove of Bush on this matter, similar to the rating he received last fall. Iraq's most powerful Shiite cleric, Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, survived an assassination attempt today when gunmen opened fire on his entourage, a security official in his office said. It was not immediately clear how many people were traveling with Sistani and if anyone in his entourage was hit. In recent weeks, Sistani has spoken out against U.S. proposals for transferring power back to an Iraqi government by July 1st, saying he wants direct elections to be held rather than the U.S. plan for a system of indirect regional caucuses. Australia has no need for a special inquiry into its intelligence on Iraq because it is sure Saddam Hussein had illicit weapons, Defense Minister Robert Hill said Tuesday. Australia received its intelligence from Britain and the United States, whose leaders both plan to name special panels to investigate the intelligence they used for going to war in Iraq. But Hill said he had confidence in the intelligence Australia received, and there was no doubt Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had. And I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK. 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
Three livestock exhibitors at last year's Ohio State Fair have been disqualified for allegedly outfitting their Holstein cows with hair pieces. State Fair inspectors said the three glued or painted hair from another part of the animal or from another animal to create straighter backs on the cows and enhance their appearance in the show ring. The men could be required to forfeit all winnings, said Department of Agriculture spokeswoman Melanie Wilt. The winnings had been withheld by fair officials. Wilt said state inspectors at the fair discovered the fake hair when the cows were leaving the show ring on August 10th. The men have 30 days to request a hearing in which they could present their cases to an independent hearing officer. As of press time, the cows had no comment. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Something major is taking place in our country that corporate chieftains don't want us talking about. Jobless creep. It's no longer just blue-collar families that are seeing their jobs hauled offshore to faraway havens of low-wage production. Now it's hundreds of thousands and soon to be millions of well-paying white-collar and high-tech jobs that are being shipped overseas by America's wage-busting CEOs. And joblessness is creeping quietly but relentlessly upward, ensnaring families that previously thought that they were solidly entrenched in the upper reaches of the middle class. CEOs are paranoid about any public discussion of this explosive movement, but internally, they giddily exult at the prospect of essentially abandoning our country and its middle class in order to fatten their profits on foreign workers. IBM, which is leading the way, even has coined a corporate euphemism for moving more and more of its white-collar jobs out of the country. Global sourcing. The rush is on. A Microsoft executive has instructed department heads in this software giant to think India and, quote, to pick something to move offshore today. This is deliberate job destruction, but it's also much more. It's an open assault on America's middle class and on America's unifying social ethic that we're all in this together. Corporate executives and their apologists say that this is simply the immutable workings of the market and that, after all, the CEO's sole responsibility is to enrich the bottom line of top shareholders with no obligation to an American middle class. This is Jim Hightower saying, fine. But if CEOs have no obligation to us, why should we feel any obligation to them? As they separate themselves and their corporate fortunes from the well-being of our families, communities, and country, we should begin to separate them from the special tax breaks, enormous subsidies, regulatory favors, political privileges, and all the other advantages that they've gotten from us.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, truth seekers. We have 16 programs left before this program disappears. So stay tuned, all right? Program tonight produced by Catherine Bay, as always. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here, 800-825-5937. 800-TALK-YES. Or you can email during the program, Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. Bush, Rummy, Ari Fleischer, Condi, all the rest of them have told so many lies about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. They should all be impeached, convicted, and sent to prison for the murders of American Iraqi citizens. We'll have some of that for you tonight. Now, Mr. Tenet, what's his first name? George Tenet, head of the CIA, is fighting back. The Senate Armed Services Committee apparently has released a report blaming the CIA and intelligence community. Tenet, interestingly today, spoke at George Washington University, not in front of a Senate panel, not in front of a House panel where he could be questioned, but only where he could give a speech. It's hard to talk. I'm still dealing with this dental stuff. Oh, well. Also, what we're going to play for you tonight, the montage that Kathy put together a couple of months ago that we affectionately call Lies. And you'll have a chance to hear all of these thugs lying and how they lied about the weapons of mass destruction. It runs about 8 minutes. You're going to love it if you haven't heard it. Plus, tonight we'll have Rummy's new speak at the Senate Armed Services Committee. From yesterday, Rumsfeld appeared before this committee where he, as far as I'm concerned, he's an insane man. I mean, you all know my feelings about this entire administration. But when Rumsfeld speaks, it's just amazing, amazing to listen to. This guy is a real, like a lot of schizophrenics, he is extremely good as he flits back and forth from reality to reality. You're gonna love it. Condoleezza Rice has agreed to be interviewed by the 911 Commission She will be interviewed Saturday. This is according to Bob Kerry, the newest member of that commission. He's a former senator from Nebraska. He's now the president of the New School University in New York City. But according to Mr. Kerry, Condoleezza Rice has agreed to be interviewed. This comes after weeks of resistance from the Bush crime family to the 911 Commission's requests for high-level members of the administration to come and talk about what happened. No, we're not going to do that. So Condoleezza Rice is going to do it now. Just a couple of little catches here. First of all, she refuses to be held under oath. So whatever her answers are, isn't this interesting? She will not, it will be impossible to charge her with perjury. See, these people learned from the Iran-Contra affair. They learned from watching Oliver North and the rest of these folks. As a matter of fact, we have, let me see, where is it? Kathy, do I have that from yesterday? Kathy is holding something up and flashing it in my face here. Ah, here it is. All right, I guess this is from yesterday that we didn't get to last night. This is a reporter yesterday wanting to know from Scott McClellan. Scott, can you say if White House officials are providing the 911 Commission with their information under oath? Now, we just told you that Condoleezza Rice, not only will she not be under oath, but the results of the interview are not to be made public. Well, then who is this being done for, if not the American public? These people are criminals. Have I said yet tonight how much I hate them? So Condoleezza Rice, this means her testimony effectively is useless. She'll not be sworn in. So she can lie as much as she wants to, and the results of the testimony are not to be made public. Good God! And yesterday, Simple Scotty McClellan was asked, can you say if White House officials will provide their testimony under oath?
We have made administration officials. Let me just go down kind of a list of a few things here. Yeah. There have been more than 100 briefings, including the head of agency level officials briefing the commission. Yeah. There have been some 500 plus interviews. We've provided more than 2.3 million pages of documents.
Whoa.
To the commission, as I cited a minute ago.
Whoa.
And we are continuing to make sure they have all the information they need.
But does the White House have a flat policy of not wanting officials to provide information under oath?
I think that there are lots of ways to provide the commission with information, and these are issues that we discuss with the commission and work with them to make sure that they have that information.
Can you see, this is how it goes with these lying bastards. You see? You heard McClellan's answer there. What a weasel. This guy makes R.A. Fleischer look like Jesus. Scott McClellan is so bad. All right, well, now you know. According to Gail Shea, writing in the New York Observer, Condi will testify. Well, don't even call it testify. She'll go in and chat. She will chat with the commission, not under oath, and the results of the interview will not be made public. If this crew gets into the White House again this November, this country is finished. It's over. Moving right along, we'll come back to some of this stuff. And again, for those of you who haven't heard the thing we put together called Lies, stick around for that. In South Korea, now, you talk about arrogance. Oh, Jesus. The Korean people want our 37,000 troops out of there. They are only there to act as a tripwire. Those 37,000 U.S. troops would be vaporized if the North Koreans ever launched an attack on South Korea. Vaporized. They have been there now for 50 years. Not the same guys, but U.S. troops have been in South Korea for 50 years. The people of South Korea want them out. One of the reasons we left them there so long was to prop up the right-wing governments that we supported subsequent to the Korean War. You have to remember that Korea, it's only been in, I think, the last election where true democracy was handed over to the South Korean people. Think about that when you think about how long we're going to be in Iraq. But anyway, there we are. We have something like 90 U.S. bases throughout South Korea. Think about that for a second. Would you just for a second? Okay, thank you. 90 U.S. military installations in South Korea. We have 37,000 troops there. Now the U.S. military is asking South Korea to ban lap dancing and other lewd acts at local nightclubs near these military bases because the U.S. military says it is negatively impacting military discipline. Okay, so far so good. You still with me? Okay. The U.S. Army's 2nd Infantry Division, which has 15,000 troops near the border with North Korea, recently sent letters to the South Korean Special Tourist Association and local mayors urging a crackdown on lap dancing near U.S. military bases in these god-awful strip clubs. You know, we have a million of them here in Atlanta. Describing what is called client-focused exotic dancing. The U.S. military says that this is the principal cause of worsening military discipline. Can you believe this? The military letter called for local club owners to, quote, prohibit any physical contact between dancers and customers, end quote. Now, here's the catch. South Korean lap dancing clubs are totally off limits to South Koreans. The only people allowed in are U.S. service personnel. That is the club's raison d'etre. Every single lap dancing, whoremongering, whatever the hell it is, club, little musical whorehouse that's been set up has been set up to service U.S. troops. That's the only reason they're there. Now, U.S. officials declined to specify what they meant by worsening military discipline. What? So now they're asking the Koreans, to close down clubs that are only, the only clientele they have are U.S. soldiers. How about this? How about saying to the soldiers, that's off limits. Don't go there. Now, what would happen? Well, since the Koreans are not allowed in, and the Americans would be ordered by their commanding officers not to go in, well, my goodness, the little rat's nest of lewd, nude, crude behavior would cease to exist, wouldn't they? Just astonishing. This stuff is just astonishing. So we go to a different country. We totally corrupt their entire country. The locals complain all the time about the pollution, the noise, the traffic from U.S. bases, the crimes committed by American troops, the rapes, the assaults, the half-assed attitude of U.S. troops. You take some 19-year-old punk and arm him with more firepower than an entire platoon during World War II. Turn him loose in Korea and tell him, you see that building over there? You can go over there and they'll lap dance on you, boy! So now the U.S. military says to the Koreans, hey, we want you to stop that lap dancing in there. We know Koreans can't go in. We know the only people who can go in are Americans. But hey! Oh my God, this is a sick, sick country, isn't it? And I'm not talking about South Korea.
Radio's blasted. Someone's knocking at the door. Mama told me not to come. She said,
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Cats behave badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets. And I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful. But now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I'd grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful. Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Molloy.
Twenty-four past the hour. Yeah, that's really something. It's like if you've got a string of whorehouses that have established themselves outside U.S. military bases, which always happens. I don't care if it's in Hinesville, Georgia, or Seoul, South Korea, where you find U.S. military bases, you will find whorehouses all over the place. So in South Korea, they call it lap dancing. They have all these whorehouses. So the U.S. military officials say to the Koreans, hey, listen, this is having an effect on the discipline of our soldiers. So we want you not to have any whores in the whorehouses. You can still have the whorehouses, just no whores, because it's upsetting our boys. What happened to military discipline? Anybody want to fill me in on this? Any of you guys who recently were just out of the service or still in? What happened to the idea of a commanding officer coming down the chain of command an order that tells you where you may and may not go? You are in the military, sucker. If I tell you not to go someplace and I am your superior officer and you go, I will put your ass in the brig. Period. Whatever happened to that? That's right. We're in Bush world. Never mind. You want to hear something really, really weird? Clint in Dearborn sent this to me. this comes from a British newspaper. We're all aware, of course, that Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist found ricin in his office a couple of days ago, right? At the same time that that was made public, at the same time that was made public, the value of the shares in a tiny Miami Beach, Florida biotech company with no products to sell and no revenue, the shares went crazy. The value of these shares, this little company called DOR Biopharma, the value of the shares jumped 74% immediately. Normally, about 200,000 shares of this stock change hands on an average day. On this particular day, the day that they found the ricin in Frist's office, 15.6 million shares were sold. Now, DOR, Biopharma, is trying to develop a vaccine for ricin. And people in the know this. one of the executives there says, it's been crazy. Most people didn't perceive why ricin might be a threat. Today it's been unfortunate, you know, finding the stuff in Senator Frist's office, but it validated our idea that somebody should be developing a vaccine. This firm, DOR Biopharma, has several products under development. But what caught the attention of the investors last Tuesday was DOR's previous statement that it has an exclusive license agreement with University of Texas Southwest Medical Center in Dallas to develop ricin antigens. Now, an epidemiologist at UCLA said it would take tons of ricin to do what it would take a kilogram of anthrax to do. Never mind. Doesn't matter. So, 74% jump in the value of ricin. And the trading in the shares went from a normal 200,000 a day to 15.6 million on the day that ricin was discovered in Senator Bill Frist's office. Guess who happens to be the chairman of the board of DOR Biopharma? 3, 2, 1. Retired general and former Secretary of State, Alexander Haig! I'm in charge here. Me! These people are filthy. They are filthy to the core.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new kind of potato will offer consumers a choice between pesticides and genetic engineering. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Ever since the first genetically modified crops were grown in the mid-1980s, their consumption has been a hotly debated issue. Agricultural interests say these new crops are safe. Opponents call them frankenfoods. John Helgeson is a plant pathologist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He works with a team of scientists who recently engineered a potato resistant to late blight, a disease that affects nearly all potato crops in the world. Helgeson says the genetically modified potatoes will eliminate the need for thousands of tons of fungicides sprayed onto potato fields each year.
Well, here in Wisconsin, it's been said that we've used up to 500 tons of fungicides a year. About 80,000 acres will be treated. Just about every commercial acre is treated, depending upon the year, 4 to 10 times.
Helgeson found a potato variety resistant to late blight in Mexico, where the disease originated. The resistant potato was too small to be commercially viable, so he isolated the gene that made it withstand the disease and inserted it into a commercial variety. Helgeson says the engineered potato can be grown without chemical fungicides. He says the question now is one of public acceptance. He wonders whether people will trust the modified potato, and he insists it's only a potato, or prefer to stay with unmodified spuds treated with fungicides. That question won't be answered for at least 5 years, the time it will take for Helgeson and others to get the potato ready to market. He says researchers will use the time to make sure the genetically engineered spuds will be safe for planting and for human consumption. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. It was on this day a year ago, February 5th, 2003, that Colin Powell became a two-bit whore for the Bush administration. That's the day he went before the United Nations and offered a catalog of Saddam Hussein's weapons of horror. Article in the Globe and Mail today from Canada, quoting Colin Powell. He said at the time, "My colleagues, every statement I make today is backed by sources, solid sources. These are not assertions. What we are giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence." End quote. Now, of course, shortly after that, when Saddam failed to turn over the weapons he didn't have, we invaded. And as you know, since the beginning of this awful exercise in insanity by this criminal administration, more than 500 Americans have died. As for these overwhelmingly outmatched Iraqis, right? What have they been fighting back with? Oh, that's right. Indefinable bombs alongside the roads that are killing our people. An estimated 10,000 of them have been killed. Now, for those who believe the invasion was not just, murdered is the preferred word. 500 of our people have been murdered by George Bush. 10,000 Iraqis murdered by George Bush. He is a killer. Now, as the Globe and Mail says, there were many who didn't believe the U.S. take on Iraqi weapons. The Canadian government wanted more time for inspections, more proof. U.N. Chief Inspector Hans Blix wanted more time. He was ridiculed. Some journalists, the most notable being Eric Margolis of the Toronto Sun, the Sun Chain, said from the first day that the U.S. line on Iraq was a crock. And, of course, Bush's credibility, if you want to call it credibility, took its biggest hit the other day with the statements made by David Kaye, the former U.N. inspector, chief weapons inspector, CIA advisor, and employee of the Bush crime family, who said no weapons exist in Iraq. Now, that, of course, vindicated not just Americans, but people around the globe, including Canada, who said from the beginning, this is a lie. This what the United States government, under the bony, sick hand of George Bush, is doing is illegal, immoral, a lie. Everybody is justified who felt that way. According to the Globe and Mail, the hope in Canada is that David Kaye's repudiation of the charges made by the Bush crime family will diminish some of the sense of moral righteousness coming from the Bush White House. Now, listen to this. Though it wasn't publicized at the time, Prime Minister Paul Martin got a sense of that sanctimony when he met with Mr. Bush in early January in Mexico. Mr. Bush let the Prime Minister of Canada know that he, Bush, believed himself to be on the side of God and tending to God's mission. The Canadian side, well, aware of the president's penchant for religiosity, the Canadian side had been expecting to talk more about softwood lumber than the Ten Commandments. The Canadians did not expect the morality play that came burbling out of Bush's mouth, nor did they expect that almost in the same breath, Mr. Bush would be filling the air with the F word and other saucy expletives of the type that would surely leave the Lord perturbed. The F word. Hey, you know what? Effing God is on my side, huh? I'll blow those effing Iraqis into a million pieces because effing God tells me to do it. Can't you just hear that? Can't you just hear that? Nor did the Canadians anticipate a pointed attack last month on French President, as Bush called him, Jack Chirac, for his views on the Middle East. Canadian Prime Minister Martin, according to the Globe and Mail, was somewhat taken aback by what he heard. All of this. After the meeting, he was barely out the door before he was asking someone in his entourage what was to be made of all the God stuff and the use of the F word in the same sentence. In meetings of presidents and prime ministers, religion has rarely been at the forefront. Business is conducted on the basis of knowledge and logic, not with George Bush. The visitors must bear in mind there is a third force, God, as Bush presents himself as God's agent. This man must be removed from office. He must be removed from office. Can you believe this? Using the F word, and you know, I'm a total atheist, but using the F word in the same sentence as God or Jesus Christ, that's what Bush does. That's what Bush does. According to the Canadian Prime Minister, I've never met the Canadian Prime Minister, and neither, by God, have you. He may be the biggest liar, he may be a bigger liar than Colin Powell, but I don't think so. Do you? God, this is a sick perverted collection of freaks running this country. Oh, my God, how did this happen? How did this happen? I'll tell you how it happened. It was stolen. We didn't vote this bastard in. He wasn't given the presidency by the voters of this country. Using God and the F word. Isn't that so George Bush, though? Isn't that so George Bush? The hypocritical little slime ball. He has as much concern about Jesus and Mary and the apostles and God as he does about anything else in his life. Which is to say nothing. But the terminally crazy and brain dead and the snake handlers and the Christian coalition types in this country that sell this punk to the faithful, to the ones who troop into these ridiculous right-wing fundamental religious Christian churches every Sunday and listen to this garbage. Oh, my God. George Bush is a godly man. George Bush is a killer. George Bush is satanic. But who's, you know this and I know this, and the people need to know it. It's never going to get out to them. Never. Do you think for us here in Georgia, do we think that little smarmy rat that runs the, used to run the Christian Coalition and now runs the Georgia Republican Party, Ralph Reed, does anybody here in Georgia think that Ralph Reed is going to say, by the way, folks, we're kind of swearing off George Bush because he says F God. So we're gonna kind of back away a little bit now. That's not what you're supposed to say. But George Bush's doppelganger is Osama bin Laden. They are both religious freaks. I wish this almost, well, not quite that much to give up one of my, you know, my firstborn. But I would love to see George Bush and Osama bin Laden lock them in a room. Osama has a kidney dialysis machine to use as a weapon. Give George, one of those bushwhacker things, you know, that to trim his weeds with. And let the two disciples of their, both of their psychopathic concepts of God have at each other. Man. Do you ever feel like you're living in the, what would it be, Kathy? The 12th century? Isn't that when were all the Crusades? God, I can't think tonight. 1000s, 1100s, somewhere around there? Yeah, okay, that's close enough. I don't care. Don't send me an email. Close enough. But that's what this feels like, doesn't it? Huh? Only we don't do it with lances and sabers and siege equipment, like the Crusaders and the Muslims fought 1,000 years ago. No, we don't. No, we do it with the potential of chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons now. Oh, well. George is calling from Los Angeles. Hey, George.
Hey, Mike. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
All right, my friend. Listen, you passed over something last night that I thought was pretty significant. Something that dawned on me right away. When Peter Jennings brought up that question to General Clark.
Yeah.
I looked in his face and I said, whoa, he has an agenda here. You know, him and his fellow Canuck, maybe?
Yeah.
It looked to me like a backhanded sort of way of getting this issue up.
Well,
having to reveal his cards.
If that was the case, my respect for Peter Jennings goes up 1,000-fold.
Right, and you see, he did it in sort of a backhanded way. This way he doesn't have to reveal all of his cards right now. But maybe the media's waking up, Mike, you know? Dan Rather, now mm-hmm. Peter Jennings. What's going to be happening, man? It's still early, you know? If the media starts waking up, there's no telling where this country could go.
Yeah, but, you know, it still pisses me off because they claim to be or present themselves to be much smarter than you and me, George.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who are we? Okay. Oh, wait a minute. I have a radio talk show. That's right. I guess I'm part of it. No, I'm not. I'm not media. I'm not a news gatherer. I'm a consumer of this crap just like you are, or a rejecter of this crap. So these guys are supposed to have more insight into this stuff because they're right in the middle of it. What has taken them so long? Why are these people cowardly? Are they disingenuous? Are they traitors? Why? Why?
I've wondered that myself.
People knew this stuff. People knew this stuff about George Bush 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when this punk was running for office. All this information was available, mm-hmm. and media in this country talked about Al Gore changing his clothes, or Al Gore inventing the internet, or Al Gore insisting he was the model for Love Story. None of which was true.
Exactly.
So why should we give Peter Jennings or Dan Rather or any of these people anything but a kick in the ass? Just because now, after all this destruction is done, one or two of them may be saying, well, what about your war record there, George? And we're supposed to stand up and cheer. I understand what you're saying, George. I understand what you're saying.
We've got to be grateful for anybody waking up, though, at this point, you know?
Well.
You know, the press has got to make a turnaround, you know? And if that is what happened that night, and Peter Jennings did do that, like you say, he still deserves a kick in the ass for not have done it, you know, 4 years ago, but still, I guess a little bit is better than nothing, you know?
Better than nothing, I guess it is.
Mike, real quickly, last night you were talking about Kerry, why doesn't he do this and why doesn't he say that?
Right.
You know what, I mean, Kerry reminds me of a boxer going into the late rounds trying to preserve a slim lead. Mm. You know, he doesn't want to take any chances, he doesn't want to self-destruct. I have a feeling with McAuliffe behind him, if he gets the nomination, it's going to be no holds barred. It's going to be a slugfest.
I hope so. I hope, like I said, if John Kerry thinks that the Bush administration will treat him with anything other than under-the-boot grinding contempt, then John Kerry is a fool.
And $100 million of it.
Right. If Kerry will fight these, you don't take a knife to a gunfight. You just don't do it. Unless you want to die. If Kerry wants to be the next Michael Dukakis, all he has to do is not fight these bastards tooth and nail using the same tactics that they use. Now, I know Democrats don't like to do that. You know, we don't like to do that.
The high road to hell.
The high road to hell is right. So if Kerry gets the nomination, these people will turn him into a VC sympathizer in the public's mind as quickly as they turned Max Cleland into an Osama bin Laden sympathizer.
Did you see Max Cleland the other night?
I've seen him off and on. Yeah, you know, he's from my state. I had to watch him go down in flames with this punk Saxby Chambliss beat him.
Right. Well, the other night he went after Bush real nice. I mean, he no holds barred. He says this guy was he called him a disgrace. He said his service record was a disgrace. I mean, he went right after him. A little too late for him to come back.
Yeah, you know, it's a damn shame that Max Cleland wasn't saying that when he was running for re-election. When he was running for re-election, he had TV commercials here in Georgia that included George Bush. Max Cleland couldn't get his nose far enough up George Bush's ass when he was running for re-election. It was awful. It was horrifying. It was disgusting to watch. And Max Cleland got it handed to him.
You know what Max's job was before he was your senator down there, don't you?
Yeah, he was head of the Veterans Administration.
Veterans Administration
right.
Hospital.
Right.
All righty, Mike. Thank you for taking the time, buddy.
All right. Appreciate your call, George. You take care. What, my language is getting a little rough tonight? Okay. I plead guilty. You know, I'm the Justin Timberlake of talk radio, I guess. I don't know. I mean, what am I supposed to say? I know Max Cleland, okay? I have met him. I was in his condo over here, you know, Kathy, on Peachtree up in Buckhead. I know this man. He was Georgia's Secretary of State under Zell Miller. I know him. I've been in an elevator with him. I have been in his home. I've talked with him. And when he was running for re-election to the United States Senate, and I saw those commercials, I don't have beers with him, I don't hang out with him now that he became famous, now that he was a senator, hell no. But back when he was working for, I forget what company it was, when he got out of, years after he got out of service, and then became Georgia Secretary of State, I knew him then. And when I saw those re-election commercials 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, where Max Cleland couldn't get close enough to George Bush, and I thought to myself, boy, you are crazy. They will cut your throat. They will take your they'll take your left arm. That's all you got left. They're going to cut it off and stuff it down your throat. And they did.
bound to follow my conscience, and I'll do whatever I can. But it'll take much more than a union law to knock the fight out of a working man. And which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Kathy. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, Don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Out by right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we're going to replay the weapons of mass destruction lies montage that carries the voices of Bush and Ari and Rummy and Powell and Condi and all of these criminal bastards that Kathy put together and played for you a few months ago. Just as kind of a reminder of the repeated deadly lies, and we're going to have that after the break coming up here in a minute. Plus, Rummy's newspeak at the Senate Armed Services Committee from yesterday. Kevin in Columbus, Ohio, sent this in, and it really ties in with what we were talking about last night. The Republicans are going to use the gay marriage thing, the wedge issue once again. It's just so sick. I just so deeply hate these people, and I'm proud of the hate. I just so deeply hate them because the Republicans are going to use this, Republican Party leadership. Now, Kevin emails in. He says, today after classes, I was driving to my job here on the local so-called news radio. I was listening to the right-wing pigman wannabe Glenn Beck. Yeah, he's on here in Atlanta, too. I've met him. What a punk. And he was trying, Kevin writes, rather successfully, to all his wannabe ditto heads, to link terrorism, Osama, Saddam, since they're all the same thing, and America's homosexuals wanting to get married. Glenn Beck was saying things like, they, the Arabs, hate us and want to kill us because we let the appointed judges go against the will of the people and defile the sanctity of marriage, blah, 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 blah. And all his callers were agreeing. About ran off the road, Kevin writes, and started screaming and yelling and punching my steering wheel. I'm glad my commute was only 25 minutes. How can they do this? Kevin, they can do it because they own the radio waves. They can do it because they are lying, cowardly bastards. They can do it because they love to jerk around the ditto heads who listen to this stuff. I mean, I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. I feel like I'm living in hell. Yeah, this is Glenn Beck is saying the same thing that Falwell and Robertson said when 3,000 people were killed in this country on September 11th, an act of terror engineered and promoted by the Bush crime family. And the next day or the day after or the same day that Falwell and Robertson blamed liberals and progressives and feminists and queers. So what is Glenn Beck doing? Glenn Beck is just being the piggish, right-wing, Republican demagogue that he is. I hate these Republicans. Every single one of them.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A new CNN USA Today Gallup poll finds American support for the war has retreated from the higher levels coincident with the capture of Saddam Hussein last December and is essentially back where it was last fall. Today, Americans are evenly divided on whether it was worth going to war at all, and more people disapprove than approve of the way George W. Bush is handling the situation in Iraq. The poll finds 49% of Americans saying the war was worth it and 49% saying it wasn't. The public's approval of the way Bush is handling the situation in Iraq has also declined in the wake of the Kay Report and Democratic criticisms. Just 46% approve, while 53% disapprove of Bush on this matter, similar to the rating he received last fall. Iraq's most powerful Shiite cleric, Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, survived an assassination attempt today when gunmen opened fire on his entourage, a security official in his office said. It was not immediately clear how many people were traveling with Sistani and if anyone in his entourage was hit. In recent weeks, Sistani has spoken out against U.S. proposals for transferring power back to an Iraqi government by July 1st, saying he wants direct elections to be held rather than the U.S. plan for a system of indirect regional caucuses. It's a story that's taking place all over the country, and this time it's happening in the Long Island town of Miller Place, where parents got a letter from Miller Place High School announcing that the school would be contracting with a company to bring in drug-sniffing dogs to conduct random searches inside and on the grounds of the school, which shows no signs of having a drug problem. Parent Sean Brennan feels that the plan smacks of overkill.
I don't want to minimize drug abuse among teenagers in our schools. It's a serious issue. But in the case of Miller Place High School, you're talking about curing a case of dandruff by decapitation.
Brennan is among a group of parents that are considering fighting the decision. More after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had. And I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. That's just too much to lose.
A British retiree did not notice his brother had been dead for 18 months despite sharing a mobile home with him. When Herbert Silver finally called police and told him his brother George had died, they went to the bachelor's home expecting to find a body. Instead, they found a skeleton, British newspapers reported on Thursday. Silver said he had thought it a bit odd when his brother failed to emerge from his bedroom in the tiny home they shared in Blissford, southern England, but told the Daily Mirror, George liked to keep himself to himself, and to be honest, so do I. A postmortem indicated George Silver had been dead for up to 18 months. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Something major is taking place in our country that corporate chieftains don't want us talking about. Jobless creep. It's no longer just blue-collar families that are seeing their jobs hauled offshore to faraway havens of low-wage production. Now it's hundreds of thousands and soon to be millions of well-paying white-collar and high-tech jobs that are being shipped overseas by America's wage-busting CEOs. And joblessness is creeping quietly but relentlessly upward, ensnaring families that previously thought that they were solidly entrenched in the upper reaches of the middle class. CEOs are paranoid about any public discussion of this explosive movement, but internally, they giddily exult at the prospect of essentially abandoning our country and its middle class in order to fatten their profits on foreign workers. IBM, which is leading the way, even has coined a corporate euphemism for moving more and more of its white-collar jobs out of the country. Global sourcing. The rush is on. A Microsoft executive has instructed department heads in this software giant to think India and, quote, to pick something to move offshore today. This is deliberate job destruction, but it's also much more. It's an open assault on America's middle class and on America's unifying social ethic that we're all in this together. Corporate executives and their apologists say that this is simply the immutable workings of the market and that, after all, the CEO's sole responsibility is to enrich the bottom line of top shareholders with no obligation to an American middle class. This is Jim Hightower saying, fine. But if CEOs have no obligation to us, why should we feel any obligation to them? As they separate themselves and their corporate fortunes from the well-being of our families, communities, and country, we should begin to separate them from the special tax breaks, enormous subsidies, regulatory favors, political privileges, and all the other advantages that they've gotten from us.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
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 You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. 16 of these programs left, Truth Seeker, and then we become a fond memory. Or a memory. I was just listening to the newscast. I don't know if that was Don or Michael. I didn't listen to the tagline, which guy was giving the news. But that the lead story about the attempted assassination on the Grand Ayatollah of Iraq, Ali al-Sistani. I don't know. I didn't watch network news tonight. Actually, we didn't watch any news today, did we, Kathy? No. We went to see the accountant today to try to figure out some way to avoid paying taxes again. Not actually. So we haven't seen a lot of news, but today at 10 o'clock in the morning, gunmen opened fire on Ayatollah Sistani as he greeted people in Najaf. How do you say it? In Baghdad, he was not hurt, according to a spokesman. Sistani is surrounded by relatives who are taking care of him. The spokesman said, what I call for now is there to be no backlash after this assassination attempt. Instead, there should be a national response encompassing all of Iraq. These violent acts against any of our leaders should be condemned. Now, as you know, Sistani is the one in recent weeks who's been speaking out against the proposals, the orders by the Bush crime family about how Iraq is going to order itself, how Iraq is going to reassume power. Sistani says he wants direct elections to be held rather than the U.S. military's plan for a system of indirect regional caucuses. These people don't know caucuses. This is not Iowa, for Christ's sake. It's Iraq! But Ayatollah Sistani has been speaking out against the occupation, against American troops. Now remember, in Iraq, if you speak out against America, you are considered a criminal. We read to you the order from the U.S. military on this program that any Iraqi speaking out against the Iraqi governing council or the U.S. military could be jailed or charged with treason or both or shot. So what do you want to bet? That the attempt today to kill him was perpetrated by U.S. forces, by the CIA, by Cheney, by Rumsfeld. They don't want this guy around. Oh, my God. What he says carries enormous weight in Iraq. And his opposition to the way the U.S. Military or the U.S. government or the U.S. Fascist government wants to transfer, quote, power back to, quote, the Iraqis is something Sistani says, no, hell no. We'll have direct elections. That's how we do it here. Now, the Shiite community, of which Ali al-Sistani is the Grand Ayatollah, this is the community which was suppressed for almost 30 years by Saddam Hussein's regime. These people have lived under the heel of the boot of Saddam. Do you think they're going to live now under the heel of the boot of the U.S. military? No, they are not. Now, interestingly, nothing is ever as it seems in the Middle East. Somebody told me, a friend of mine who's a Palestinian, he has a doctorate in engineering. He was born in Lebanon, but he travels on a Lebanese passport. He's a Palestinian. He builds bridges and harbors and stuff like that in the Middle East. And he told me a long time ago, Mike, nothing is ever as it seems in the Middle East. Nothing. The attack against al-Sistani came just a day before a team of UN experts is expected in Baghdad to assess the feasibility of Sistani's demand for elections. So our side try to kill him. We try to assassinate him on the day before he's to meet with a UN delegation sent there by Kofi Annan. Why do they hate us? Well, too stupid to be president says they hate us because we buy houses, or Jerry Falwell and Glenn Beck because we insist on equal protection under the law, which means that if homosexuals want to get married, they should get married. They don't have to go into somebody's stinky-ass church. They can go down to the city hall and get married. It doesn't have to be a religious ceremony. That's not why they hate us. They hate us because we assassinate sometimes successfully, sometimes attempted assassination of their leaders, their religious leaders, their political leaders, their freely elected leaders. Why are we holding on to Saddam Hussein anyway? Why not take the bastard out, turn him loose on a street in Baghdad, and see what happens to him? Why are we holding on to him? Last time I checked, he didn't do anything to us. He did it to his own people. We didn't put Mussolini on trial. The Italian people took care of him. Oh, God. I got to calm down. I don't know. Why am I so upset tonight, Kathy? I don't understand. Is it because I heard George Tenet today saying, well, no, we didn't make any mistakes. The intelligence was right. It's just that it was interpreted wrong. I don't know why I'm so pissed off today. I am just furious today. I usually come in here angry. You all know that. You've been listening to this program, some of you, for 3 years. 3 years plus that we've been on the air on this network. And I don't know why I am so enraged. It just gets worse and worse and worse every night. And no, don't worry. I've got the blood pressure and everything under control. God, Malloy's going to blow an artery. No, I'm not. I really am not. Some of us are designed to be this way. I've been pissed off since I've been 23. So it's been a long time, all right? But I just feel just infuriated. Maybe it's because what media is doing. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's because I feel like the whole Bush crime family, we just about have a rope around their necks. With Bush and his desertion, with Powell and Rumsfeld and Condi and the rest of these people with their filthy lies, with some of these military jackasses who have taken our men and women to die someplace where they shouldn't die. You know, I just feel like the noose is just about around these criminals' necks, and I have this terrible feeling they're going to escape, that somehow they're going to escape the hangman. Somehow. Now, either by hook or by crook, by deceit, by the chicanery, somehow these evil Republicans are going to escape justice. And maybe that's what has me so angry. But man, I really am. This assassination attempt today. Hey, somebody's in our way. Oh, kill him. Jesus is on our side. Kill him. And you know, Bush talking to the Canadian Prime Minister using the F word and Jesus and God in the same sentence. Can you believe this? Why don't they take that? Why doesn't somebody carry a tape recorder and record that and put that in the churches in this country on a Sunday morning? Let them hear their little darling George Bush saying, F God. Let them hear that. Would that make any difference? I'm angry. I'm just angry tonight, that's all. I'm just very angry. So, let's do this. Let's talk with Judy in Petaluma, California. Hey, Judy.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'm glad you're angry. I'm angry. I mean, I get angry just listening to you as I was sitting here on the phone for the last 20 minutes listening to you talk.
Uh-oh.
I'm angry all the time, but I got to tell you, I called to let you know what happened this evening in our part of the country. We live in a relatively small town by California standards in Northern California, about 50 miles north of San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And about 5:30, we heard this terrible roaring noise. I mean, it was just, you know, like we're not in the path of a mountain or a train or, you know, what the hell is it? Mm-hmm. So, can I say that on the air? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, on this program you can.
So we looked out the window and we saw a jet go over. It had to be a military jet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went downstairs and ran outside, and there were two of them. They were flying really low. They made so much noise that when they were right overhead, you could not hear yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't hear anything except the roar of the jets. They were doing tight loops with flames coming out the back. I cannot imagine. We were terrified. And this must be what the people in Iraq and all the other places that we bomb go through every day. I mean, we didn't know what the heck it was. I called the police, and they said, yeah, it was probably military, but they don't tell us what they're doing. So I called some local TV stations. I called what used to be NBC station in San Francisco, and they said, are you calling about the planes? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, it's Homeland Security. I said, well,
Homeland Security?
What about Homeland Security? Well, yeah, I called the FAA.
They have their own jets now?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
They said, call the FAA. And I said, well, is it going to be on the news? I said, my God, they're you know, mm-hmm. practically strafing our houses. And she just sounded annoyed and said, oh, just call the FAA, but they won't tell you anything. I mean, secure, talk about feeling secure.
Yeah.
I haven't felt secure since, and I love the way you call them the Bush crime family, I haven't felt secure since they stole the White House.
No, I haven't either. I don't think anyone who believes in this country the way you do, the way I do, has felt secure since December 12th, 2000, when the United States Supreme Court said this case will not go forward. The election essentially is over. George Bush is the winner. I know exactly what you're saying, Judy, exactly.
We have been in absolute disbelief that gets worse every day and wonder, why doesn't anybody else see this? I mean, we are so upset that IE America, you and Tom Hartman and all these people are going to go away. I hope not for long, because I gave up on NPR a long time ago, and especially when they became an apologist for the administration going to war.
Mm-hmm.
And now they, you know, they occasionally I'll tune them in and they say something like, oh, well, you know.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do you want to hold on a second?
Yeah.
All right. Let me put you on hold, Judy. We'll take a break and come back and finish up. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm too afraid to use the phone. I'm too afraid to put the light on. I'm so afraid I've lost control. I'm suffocating without a word. Crazy with sweat. Spittle on my jaw. What's that funny noise? What's that on the floor? Waves of fear. Pulsing with death. I curse at my tremors. I jump at my own step. I cringe at my terror. I hate my own self. I know where I must be. I must be in hell.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a
expense account.
What's the problem?
I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to it on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows. And if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside. Punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk, Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're talking with Judy in Petaluma. Okay, Judy, thanks for holding on.
Hi, sure. I don't even know exactly what I was saying. I get so worked up, I forget where I am.
Oh, just you were making the case about, the jets buzzing your house and the fear and how miserable things have been since the Bush crime family took over.
Well, I know, The media is what frightens me the most.
Mm-hmm.
They don't seem at all interested. About the only thing we can rely on anymore is your show and Tom Hartman's, and we're lucky enough to have KPFA out here, a Pacifica station, and
right.
We listen to Democracy Now.
Right.
But, you know, I think it is quite interesting that the front runner, the Democratic front runner, is a skull and bones guy. And it was so interesting that Dean had such a lead in the polls, and he just got sabotaged. And I think it was sabotage. I think it was premeditated. The fact that he got enthusiastic in a speech, and then they started saying, harumph, harumph, he's not presidential. And then pretty soon all the little bobbleheads were saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, his figures went down.
It is amazing how that works, isn't it?
I know. And
yeah.
I was only for him. If I voted my heart, it would be Dennis Kucinich.
Right.
But he didn't have a chance, and I thought Dean had the fire and the guts to say what he thought,
mm-hmm.
and at least he was more progressive than, you know, any Republican you can name, and he had a chance of fighting against Bush, and so now we've got it's going to be Kerry.
Okay, not necessarily. He still does. Don't give up on Howard Dean. He's second in the number of delegates. If you count the superdelegates, and I realize the superdelegates can shift their votes, whereas delegates are committed to the candidate. But even if you insert that little caveat, Howard Dean still has the second behind Kerry, the second largest number of delegates. It's not Edwards. It's not Clark. It's not anybody else. It's Dean. Don't write Dean off.
Well, it sounds like he is, because if he doesn't win Wisconsin,
Which is the 17th of February, that's where he's drawn the line in the sand.
Yeah.
But I would never write Dean off. And I hope that if he doesn't win Wisconsin, that he continues and builds up as many delegates as he can, so that when the Democratic convention occurs this fall, the Dean people will show up and be able to say, hey, look, this is what we want, and by God, we're going to get it. So, I hope he doesn't give up. I don't want to see these people drop out.
Well, I don't either. And I want my chance to vote for him in our primary in California.
I hear you. Hey, thanks, Judy.
Well, thank you, and keep up the good work.
Deep breath, dear.
All right.
Okay, take care. Associated Press article here, Victor sent me. Bodyguards and political allies of Iraq's most powerful Shiite Muslim clergyman, Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Husani al-Sistani, has denied earlier reports today of a failed assassination attempt on the cleric. Two bodyguards at the cleric told the Associated Press there was no such attempt made on al-Sistani. In addition, following the emergence of reports of an assassination attempt, al-Sistani was described by associates as being in good health. Various U.S. and Arab media outlets broadcast reports of the assassination attempt, although details varied widely. The Arabic TV station Al Jazeera had reported an unidentified gunman fired on the Ayatollah Thursday morning. CNN reported that four attackers with AK-47s injured an unspecified number of al-Sistani bodyguards during an attempt on the prominent cleric's life at about 10 a.m. U.S.-led coalition spokesman Dan Senor, as well as Polish and Spanish troops in Najaf, told AP they had no information about an attack on al-Sistani. A spokesman for top governing council member Abdelaziz al-Hakim, that's our group, the governing council, said a very senior member of his party in Najaf denied there was any attack. Another governing council member denied. This sounds like a perfect CIA black ops operation. Everything's deniable. It didn't happen. Of course, where's al-Sistani? Why isn't he stepping out and saying, hey, nobody made no attempt on me. I'm here fine. I'm okay. So there you have it. You see how this stuff works? Isn't this fun?
We take lives when we have to protect the people. That's how I look at it.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new kind of potato will offer consumers a choice between pesticides and genetic engineering. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Ever since the first genetically modified crops were grown in the mid-1980s, their consumption has been a hotly debated issue. Agricultural interests say these new crops are safe. Opponents call them frankenfoods. John Helgeson is a plant pathologist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He works with a team of scientists who recently engineered a potato resistant to late blight, a disease that affects nearly all potato crops in the world. Helgeson says the genetically modified potatoes will eliminate the need for thousands of tons of fungicides sprayed onto potato fields each year.
Well, here in Wisconsin, it's been said that we've used up to 500 tons of fungicides a year. About 80,000 acres will be treated. Just about every commercial acre is treated, depending upon the year, 4 to 10 times.
Helgeson found a potato variety resistant to late blight in Mexico, where the disease originated. The resistant potato was too small to be commercially viable, so he isolated the gene that made it withstand the disease and inserted it into a commercial variety. Helgeson says the engineered potato can be grown without chemical fungicides. He says the question now is one of public acceptance. He wonders whether people will trust the modified potato, and he insists it's only a potato, or prefer to stay with unmodified spuds treated with fungicides. That question won't be answered for at least 5 years, the time it will take for Helgeson and others to get the potato ready to market. He says researchers will use the time to make sure the genetically engineered spuds will be safe for planting and for human consumption. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. All right, we're just about ready to play this montage of sound. All the liars, all the filthy liars in the Bush crime family during the run-up to war. This was prior to the attack, Kathy? Yeah, okay. We're going to play it for you. Martin emailed in. Mike, you keep hitting on topics that compel me to respond. The intelligence provided to the Bush crime family essentially was not inaccurate. It was manipulated by Herr Bush and the propaganda war to convince America. Yeah, well, I agree with that. But on the other hand, Martin, you know, when George Tenet sits there and says we didn't get it wrong, the hell he didn't get it wrong. I agree with you that the Bush crime family manipulated the bejesus out of it. But it was crappy, and it wasn't intelligence to begin with. Greg, who's in the U.S. Navy, I was listening on Sirius last night driving home from work and heard you say something about only having 16 weeks left. No, 16 programs left, Greg. Is your show going away? Yes, this network is being sold or disappearing. I have no idea. I just know that after February 27th, I will not be here. He writes, I hope not. We need more people like you and more programs like yours to keep hammering away at the sickening mess our country is in. I'm an active duty military member and one of a small minority of liberals in the military. Can't say I'm a true Democrat or true Republican because I like to think outside the box. But on most issues, I tend to be pretty liberal. Oh, and yes, I don't believe our military is being used how it should be used. I didn't sign up to support preemptive measures against other countries, especially in these circumstances. I believe in defense, but not in the way we project ourselves all over the world. I would love to talk with you on the air sometime. Well, Greg, all I have to do is call in, pal. 800-TALK-YES. Okay. I want you to hear this. And then we will hear some sound from testimony by Rumsfeld, the Senate Armed Services Committee yesterday. Hang with me.
Ago, UN inspectors concluded that Iraq had failed to amount for large stockpiles of chemical and biological weapons. In last month's declaration, Iraq again failed to account for those weapons.
Biological weapons, with respect to chemical weapons, we know they not only have had them, but that they've used them.
The real threat to peace is Saddam Hussein and his possession of weapons of mass destruction.
Saddam Hussein has got weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein is a threat to America.
We're resting our case on the fact that Saddam Hussein has developed weapons of mass destruction, has them in his possession.
We just discovered undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
What happened to the 26,000 liters of anthrax? What happened to the botulin? What happened to the 1.5, 1.5 tons of VX? What happened to the sarin? Proof that he is not disarmed.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I believe he's a threat to the neighborhood in which he lives. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
The declaration that he made is proof positive that he has withheld information about his weapons of mass destruction program.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
It's because Iraq possesses weapons of mass destruction, and that is the core of the issue.
We're threatened by the spread of chemical and biological and nuclear weapons. Every free nation is a potential target.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view, that Saddam Hussein must disarm.
Saddam Hussein must disarm himself of all weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming. He is a danger to the world.
We know what a disarmed country looks like. And Iraq doesn't look like that.
Secretary of State Powell will present information and intelligence about Iraq's legal weapons programs.
My colleagues, every statement I make today is backed up by sources, solid sources. These are not assertions. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence. There can be no doubt that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more. And he has the ability to dispense these lethal poisons and diseases in ways that can cause massive death and destruction. Most of the launchers and warheads had been hidden in large groves of palm trees. This is evidence, not conjecture. This is true. This is all well documented.
Our intelligence sources tell us that he has attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes suitable for nuclear weapons production.
We do have evidence that they have had a nuclear program that was robust.
Saddam Hussein is determined to get his hands on a nuclear bomb. He's made repeated covert attempts to acquire high-specification aluminum tubes.
Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa.
With respect to the uranium, it was the information that we had. We provided it. If that information is inaccurate, fine. We're continuing to examine this issue.
We have never rested our case on nuclear weapons programs in Iraq on this issue about some uranium from Niger.
After Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council, the world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Secretary Powell described to the United Nations, we have found the bio truck. That's proof perfect that the intelligence in that regard was right on target.
I can't discuss all intelligence information. And of course, we have already had the successes in finding the bio, the bio trucks.
Leaving Saddam Hussein in possession of weapons of mass destruction for a few more months or years is not an option.
The United States will lead a coalition of the willing to disarm the Iraqi regime of weapons of mass destruction.
War is the only option to protect the American people in the region and the world from Saddam Hussein, who is not disarmed.
Iraq will be disarmed.
There's a smoking gun, and it involves weapons of mass destruction. They're within 15 minutes of having a nuclear weapon.
We don't know to what extent there may or may not be weapons of mass destruction used. We don't know exactly how long it would take to find weapons of mass destruction and destroy them.
There's so many variables that the numbers of possible point answers create a range that simply isn't useful. It's simply not knowable.
I am pleased with the progress that we're making in the early stages of the war to rid Iraq of its weapons of mass destruction.
This is a war to go after one regime led by Saddam Hussein that possesses weapons of mass destruction that can take the lives of millions.
We've destroyed the base of a terrorist group in northern Iraq that sought to attack America and Europe with deadly poisons. 1 month ago, that country was an arsenal of weapons. Today, the world is safer. Taking every action we can to prevent the Iraqi regime from using its hidden weapons of mass destruction to prevent the launch of missiles and chemical or biological weapons. Terrorists will no longer have a source of weapons of mass destruction in the regime that used to be in Iraq, because the regime that used to be in Iraq is no longer.
I think it is something that will be found. We've always said that we have information that they have weapons of mass destruction. What we have is intelligence about their having it. Whether it was specific location or not is often not the case.
And there is not a doubt but that we will, over a period of time, find people who can tell us where to go look for those things.
We have high confidence that Iraq did indeed have weapons of mass destruction. And nothing has changed your confidence that they will be found. We have high confidence that they have weapons of mass destruction. That is what this war was about and is about.
It obviously is important to find them. Those capabilities, chemical and biological weapons, and it's hard to find them if they're buried under rubble. We don't know. We've got a good group of people, this interagency group, CIA, FBI, DOD, DIA, working out there, and they're collecting things, they're looking for things. You'll be told if we do find something. So, in good time.
We are not a third-rate intelligence agency. There is nothing doctored in those tapes or in anything else we presented.
I believe that the presentation made by Secretary Powell was accurate and will be proved to be accurate.
Already we are seeing important progress in Iraq. Oil, Iraqi oil, is flowing again.
It does not relate to oil. I mean, it just plain doesn't. The vast majority of Iraq's oil fields were not burned. And the country's oil wealth has been preserved.
One, that entire notion is nothing but nonsense. It's the stuff of conspiracy theories, and I don't deal in that. We do indeed have concerns about a country that is awash in gas and oil.
One of the big concerns early on was the southern oil fields. I had frequently talked about the southern oil fields, or oil fields in general, and at least in the south, they are secure. And that is positive news for all of us.
I certainly had nothing to do with providing any chemicals or biologicals or any kind of weapons to Iraq.
I had nothing to do with helping Saddam Hussein and his regime against Iran.
Nonsense. It has nothing to do with oil. Literally nothing to do with oil.
It's just astonishing when you hear it put together that way, isn't it? Thank you, Kathy. That's something Kathy put together a couple of months ago. It's available at our website, mikemalloy.com. Go to the gallery, and you can listen to that at your leisure. Download it, make copies of it, hand it out to anyone you want to hand it out to. It's just unbelievable when you hear every one of those people lying and lying and lying and lying. Rumsfeld today, testimony to the Senate Armed Services Committee. In this quote, Rumsfeld implies that Saddam could have been a danger if Saddam had what he calls a surge or sudden ability to produce chemical weapons. Then they may have been a danger. Sure is different from what you just heard, right?
If we were to accept that Iraq had a surge capability for biological and chemical weapons, his missiles could have been armed with weapons of mass destruction and used to threaten neighboring countries.
Listen to that.
It's the job of Dr. K's successor, as the chairman indicated, and the Iraqi survey group to pursue these issues wherever the facts may take them.
Which will be nowhere, you jackass, and you know it. Which will be where it's taken us so far. They just don't give up, do they? Still in his opening remarks here, Rummy seems to indicate that he thinks it's possible Saddam could have hidden stockpiles of illegal weapons of mass destruction in that little hidey hole they found him in.
Think, it took us 10 months to find Saddam Hussein. The reality is that the hole he was found hiding in was large enough to hold enough biological weapons to kill thousands of human beings.
So's my attic!
Our people had gone past that farm several times. Had no idea he was there.
Because he wasn't, you jackass, until the Kurds put him there while they cut a deal to get their hands on the reward money. Listen to this guy. Listen to him. Now crazy old Rummy wants us to believe it's still possible the Iraq survey group will find weapons of mass destruction, will find the Easter Bunny, will find the Tooth Fairy.
As Dr. K has testified, what we've learned thus far has not proven Saddam Hussein had what intelligence indicated and what we believed he had.
What?
But it also has not proven the opposite. The IESG's work is some distance from completion. There are some 1,300 people in the ISG in Iraq working hard to find ground truth. When that work is complete, we will know more.
Isn't that... See? We got time for Carl Levin? Okay. Carl Levin asked this question, one of the senators on this committee. Mr. Rumsfeld, in September 2002, the Defense Intelligence Agency produced a classified study. Part of that study has now been declassified and states, quote, there is no reliable information on Iraq producing and stockpiling chemical weapons or where Iraq has or will establish its chemical warfare agent production facilities, end quote. Now, on September 19th, 2002, later the same month, you publicly stated that Saddam has, quote, amassed large clandestine stockpiles of chemical weapons and that we know he continues to hide biological and chemical weapons, moving them to different locations as often as every 12 to 24 hours and placing them in residential neighborhoods, end quote. Mr. Secretary, how do you explain the contrast between the Defense Intelligence Agency report that said there were no reliable information about production of stockpiling weapons and your statement that you knew Saddam had such weapons?
I don't, needless to say, I'm sure I never saw that piece of intelligence, and whether or not it was the DIA's view overall or an analyst's view, I can't tell from the way you've presented it. I have relied not on any one single intelligence entity, like the DIA or the CIA. I've relied on the intelligence community's assessments, and the intelligence community's assessments were what they were.
Unbelievable. just freaking unbelievable. Now, when we come back from this break, I've got two more. Kennedy questioning this thug, this crumb bomb Rumsfeld acid-headed freak. It's just unbelievable. Even when you present them with their own remarks from a year and a half ago, even then, these weasels dodge and snark and sneak and head into holes and cover their asses and pretend like you are crazy because you have the proof of what they said 18 months ago. Unbelievable.
Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Yeah, we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada, he was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
Okay, we got time to squeeze in these last two, and nothing but your phone calls next hour. Rumsfeld, testimony today, yesterday's Senate Armed Services Committee. In these last two sound bites, Senator Ted Kennedy starts to push Rummy on why Congress never got to hear opposing or dissenting intelligence before being asked to vote on going to war. Kennedy asked this thug. The State Department Bureau of Intelligence concluded, quote, the activities we have detected do not add up to a compelling case that Iraq is pursuing what we would consider to be an integrated, comprehensive approach to acquire nuclear weapons, end quote. So I think, Mr. Rumsfeld, the White House agenda is clear. It's to blame the failure of the administration's case for war on the intelligence community rather than the administration's manipulations and misrepresentations of the available intelligence.
I never have gone around the intelligence community. The intelligence community doesn't always agree. And you have hundreds of people, and they have footnotes, and they have different opinions, and you develop a consensus.
Don't we have
I have stuck with the
Aren't
consensus.
Are we entitled to hear what the dissent was as well?
Absolutely.
Did we ever? Was that provided to the Congress?
Absolutely. Within the
Will you provide that where these dissent positions were provided us prior to the time that we voted?
I'm not in the intelligence community. I don't deal with the intelligence community committees in the Congress.
You little rat bastard. You little coward. Stick your tail between your legs and run. Kennedy presses on, stating, I'd just say that in your September 19th, 2002 testimony to the committee, you said five times that Iraq has, or we know they have, weapons of mass destruction. That's an extraordinary leap, and that extraordinary leap was wrong. Listen to this.
I'm asked a lot of questions. I use a lot of words, and I'm sure from time to time I say something that, in retrospect, I wish I hadn't.
What?
Our troops were a long way from even Baghdad, and I was asked, where's the weapons of mass destruction? And I may have said, I think I said, we know where they are. They're up north. They're not down here. And I was referring to the suspect sites. And you're quite right. Shorthand, we know where they are. Probably turned out not to be exactly what one would have preferred in retrospect.
Listen to this, little bastard. Listen to this. Rumsfeld is like any other power-mad bully. When they are confronted with somebody who says, hey, wait a second, they back down. I don't care if it's Bush, Rumsfeld, Rice, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Pearl, North, Abrams, all of these people. You get in their face, present them with the facts, and they just melt.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A new CNN USA Today Gallup poll finds American support for the war has retreated from the higher levels coincident with the capture of Saddam Hussein last December and is essentially back where it was last fall. Today, Americans are evenly divided on whether it was worth going to war at all, and more people disapprove than approve of the way George W. Bush is handling the situation in Iraq. The poll finds 49% of Americans saying the war was worth it and 49% saying it wasn't. The public's approval of the way Bush is handling the situation in Iraq has also declined in the wake of the Kay Report and Democratic criticisms. Just 46% approve, while 53% disapprove of Bush on this matter, similar to the rating he received last fall. Iraq's most powerful Shiite cleric, Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, survived an assassination attempt today when gunmen opened fire on his entourage, a security official in his office said. It was not immediately clear how many people were traveling with Sistani and if anyone in his entourage was hit. In recent weeks, Sistani has spoken out against U.S. proposals for transferring power back to an Iraqi government by July 1st, saying he wants direct elections to be held rather than the U.S. plan for a system of indirect regional caucuses. Australia has no need for a special inquiry into its intelligence on Iraq because it is sure Saddam Hussein had illicit weapons, Defense Minister Robert Hill said Tuesday. Australia received its intelligence from Britain and the United States, whose leaders both plan to name special panels to investigate the intelligence they used for going to war in Iraq. But Hill said he had confidence in the intelligence Australia received, and there was no doubt Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had. And I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK. 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
Three livestock exhibitors at last year's Ohio State Fair have been disqualified for allegedly outfitting their Holstein cows with hair pieces. State Fair inspectors said the three glued or painted hair from another part of the animal or from another animal to create straighter backs on the cows and enhance their appearance in the show ring. The men could be required to forfeit all winnings, said Department of Agriculture spokeswoman Melanie Wilt. The winnings had been withheld by fair officials. Wilt said state inspectors at the fair discovered the fake hair when the cows were leaving the show ring on August 10th. The men have 30 days to request a hearing in which they could present their cases to an independent hearing officer. As of press time, the cows had no comment. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving, Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Something major is taking place in our country that corporate chieftains don't want us talking about. Jobless creep. It's no longer just blue-collar families that are seeing their jobs hauled offshore to faraway havens of low-wage production. Now it's hundreds of thousands and soon to be millions of well-paying white-collar and high-tech jobs that are being shipped overseas by America's wage-busting CEOs. And joblessness is creeping quietly but relentlessly upward, ensnaring families that previously thought that they were solidly entrenched in the upper reaches of the middle class. CEOs are paranoid about any public discussion of this explosive movement, but internally, they giddily exult at the prospect of essentially abandoning our country and its middle class in order to fatten their profits on foreign workers. IBM, which is leading the way, even has coined a corporate euphemism for moving more and more of its white-collar jobs out of the country. Global sourcing. The rush is on. A Microsoft executive has instructed department heads in this software giant to think India and, quote, to pick something to move offshore today. This is deliberate job destruction, but it's also much more. It's an open assault on America's middle class and on America's unifying social ethic that we're all in this together. Corporate executives and their apologists say that this is simply the immutable workings of the market and that, after all, the CEO's sole responsibility is to enrich the bottom line of top shareholders with no obligation to an American middle class. This is Jim Hightower saying, fine, but if CEOs have no obligation to us, why should we feel any obligation to them? As they separate themselves and their corporate fortunes from the well-being of our families, communities, and country, we should begin to separate them from the special tax breaks, enormous subsidies, regulatory favors, political privileges, and all the other advantages that they've gotten from us.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Did we? I don't think we have. There was one other sound, but I think. We'll save that for later. Because, as promised, I want to go to your phone calls now. Because some of you have been holding on forever, like Spitfire here, who's been holding on for over an hour. Hey, Spitfire.
Hey. I figured out why the Democrats have been acting the way they have.
Yeah? Why is that?
I sent you a link. Apparently, there was an article that was buried in Reuters. I found it by going over to FindLaw. I was looking up something else, and then I went over to Politics at FindLaw, and then I saw article there that apparently the Democrats want a bribery probe into the Medicare bill.
Oh,
about that one particular senator.
Billy Tausen.
Right. Apparently, in the article, it says that apparently there has been an unofficial ethics truce between the two parties that's lasted since the late 1990s.
Right. You know what that was. That was something that Newt Gingrich, after he dumped his bile and his vomit and his poison all over the U.S. House after he got his ass all in an uproar and caused the government to shut down because Clinton didn't invite him to ride in the front part of Air Force One coming back from Europe. The so-called truce was worked out where they would stop, the two parties would stop doing things to each other that would impede the normal workings of government. Now, the Democrats, for the most part, just take a look. The Democrats, for the most part, tried to abide by the truce. They have stood there and allowed these filthy Republicans to slap them, kick them in the scrotum. What's the plural of scrotum? Scrota. A pound on them, beat on them, bash them around. And they put up with it. They turn the other cheek, whether it's on their butt or their face. And the Republicans, as a result, own the White House, own the Senate, own the House of Representatives, own the federal judiciary. So much for your truce.
Right. Well, one of the things that was rather that I found rather funny in it was apparently, let's see, I guess it was Tom DeLay, when they talked about possibly getting this bribery probe going into this. He's accusing the Democrats of, quote, starting to throw mud.
Yeah, right. This is what they do.
Yes.
The Republicans know the basic lesson that you're taught in high school football or the military. The best defense is a good offense.
Right.
And they do it every time, every single time. Before a Democrat can open his or her mouth, this little rat bastard DeLay or one of these other thugs will immediately jump out and start screaming about, oh, well, they're politicizing. Well, look what they're doing. Well, they're throwing mud. Look at this. You know, it's such a shop-worn, time-worn, pissy little tactic. But you know what? In this country, it works.
Yep. I got another one for you on PlaneGate. I was just basically looking through. I decided to look up the original Robert Novak article. Came out on July 14th. You know how the Bush crime family always tries to pull stuff on the weekend?
Right.
Guess what happened that Saturday?
Yeah, you sent it to me in an email. Go ahead. Tell everybody.
White House spokesman Flesher resigned.
Right. Right.
Ari Flesher.
Yeah, I've got that. I'm sorry I didn't get to it tonight. I got what you sent me, and I printed the whole thing off. Both the Novak column where he mentions that what was it? Nobody in the administration had given him the information.
Right. You could say basically both Bush and Bob can say nobody who is now in the White House made the call.
Right.
And they can even drop the "who is now" part.
Right.
You know, it's just ridiculous, this kind of stuff is going on. I was wondering, as far as bureau chiefs go, instead of me being a bureau chief, it seems Nelson's already given me a title on the forum.
He has.
Guru of Truth.
Guru of Truth. Well, Nelson, you know, I've heard that sometimes Nelson has a couple of Jack Blacks and Cokes. Maybe he gave that to you when he'd, you know.
Yeah, when I hit 7,500 posts.
Was that when it was?
Yep.
Maybe
I'm
he raised
1,085 right now.
Maybe Nelson just raised a glass one night and he said, "I think I'll give Spitfire a special title."
Yeah. Yeah, Ben and I have been also talking on the forum about possibly putting together a best of for your show.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, you can do what you want.
You know, we'll do, you know, we'll like farm into the entire talent of all of the people on the board, come up with artwork for the CD and everything.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful.
But it would be available to fans.
Yeah,
instead of a promo tape that you would send out to radio stations.
Well, let us know what happens. You guys certainly have the expertise to do it. I have enough trouble just turning the computer on and off. Well, I don't even do that anymore since we got to
Well, you might
cable
get recruited
modem.
To do some narration while you're on vacation.
I hope I'm not going to be on vacation, but I probably will be.
Yeah, at least for 2 weeks.
Forced vacation.
Who knows?
Yeah, forced vacation. That sounds like a good idea, Spitfire. You and Ben keep me posted on whatever you want me to do. I'll be happy to do it.
Okay, you can expect some updates then.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
All right. Take care, Spitfire. Yeah, we'll think it's some of the best of, huh? You know anything about that, Kathy? We could sell it for $9.95 and devote 50% of the proceeds to Howard Dean, 50% to Dennis Kucinich. Okay, not. Dave is calling from San Francisco. The other Dave. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Yeah, I was starting to feel like a Lee Harvey Oswald with a second Oswald.
No, there are two Daves from San Francisco, and oddly, or not so oddly, you guys sound a little bit alike. You both have, what's the word, mellifluous, am I saying that right? Mellifluous voices. And you're both very articulate, and you're both you both always have something good to say. And I,
well, thank you.
When Kathy said, I was out there in her part of the studio during the break, and I heard her say we were on last night, and it was clear that you were saying, well, no, I wasn't, and I said that was the other Dave. Well, welcome to the program, Dave.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Yeah. First, I just wanted to say a little bit about Peter Jennings and the Bush AWOL business. I think that some of these people. You know, they get a lot of money. I mean, some of these are six- and seven-figure income folks at networks, you know.
Oh, all of them seven figures.
Oh, yeah. And do you know how much of a tax cut they got from Bush?
Right.
And then all of a sudden I went back, my mind went back to 1991, 92, around in there when Bush Sr. was in office and he raised taxes. And then I read some stuff from a long time ago about why. And it was because the interest on the debt had amounted up to someplace in the neighborhood of around $400 to $425 billion a year in interest payments alone on the collected debt.
Right.
And in addition to the federal government's responsibilities that it has for defense and for programs and blah, 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 and the whole thing, when it all added up together, there wasn't enough revenue, and they had to raise taxes.
Mm-hmm.
They had to.
Right.
They didn't have a choice.
Right.
And then I began to see, you know, in the look of some of these people in the last week or two, that, I mean, Judy Woodruff's and all these people are kind of asking other kind of questions now
mm-hmm.
than the attack on the Democrats, which they seem to be just enjoying to no end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then a thought occurred to me, well, the interest on the debt at more than $7 trillion collected debt by now has got to be concerning these people because they know that somebody is going to have to get in and raise taxes, and guess who it'll be? It'll be the same people that Bush Sr. raised them on, the wealthy, right?
Yeah.
And then it occurred to me, well, you see, they're starting to talk, you know, asking more questions about the war, and they're starting to delve into the subject mm-hmm. matter a little bit, sounding moral,
mm-hmm.
when they're really self-concerned for doing it.
Right.
They're concerned about how much more in taxes are going to be paid, having to be paid in the next administration, regardless if it's Bush or somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what they're really concerned about. And then on this Astani thing, you know, I think you might be right about the CIA potential, you know, because, you know, first of all, and I thought was listening to you say that, it just said, oh, this is just. It's got to be almost true.
There's a tradition in the Middle East, I have been told, by a very reliable source, the gentleman I mentioned earlier. He's a Ph.D., engineering degree, a Palestinian, travels on a Lebanese passport. I trust him. I would trust him with my life. I would trust him with my wife's life. I would trust him with my children's life.
Wow.
He has said to me, one of the worst things that someone with power in the Arab or the Muslim world can ever admit to is that he, and it's always a he, that he was so vulnerable that people got close enough to him to attempt to assassinate him. That is a mark of shame if you allow that to happen. So, keeping that in mind, when I first heard this story today, I thought, oh, yeah, well, of course. I know exactly who did this. Well, I don't know exactly, but it was either CIA or CIA assets, mm-hmm. people that were paid $50,000, $100,000, go kill this bastard.
Well,
because
in particular, since he was disagreeing.
Right, right. Not only disagreeing, but he has the power to raise up the Shiites. Remember, the Shiites have been kept in involuntary servitude, if you will, for 30 years under
right.
Saddam. These people want to be released the same way the Iranians wanted to be released from the Shah.
Right.
So here's this al-Sistani, who is the threat,
uh-huh.
the threat to American hegemony in that part of the world. The threat. He's the guy who will turn Iraq into the Islamic Republic of Iraq.
And so better than the CIA has the kind of expertise
Oh, right.
It's covert operators to affect that kind of thing.
So they decide to off him. The thing doesn't work.
We all know they've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, news media all over the Middle East, the United States, and Europe report this assassination attempt, and then within hours, all of a sudden it's being retracted. Oh, no, this never happened. Now,
really, and, you know, it's interesting, too, is that this so-called independent investigation, which I find to be a complete joke, I'm just appalled at their gall. First of all, they want to have it. They moved it. They said it would be, I think, in last part of August, first started part of September, about the time of the Republican National Convention,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they can try to cover it over with all their hoopla. But the other thing is they want the report to come out in 2005,
sure.
after the election, and they want us all, and I heard this on the news day before yesterday, they want us to consider it like we did the Warren Commission.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
It's insane. All of it's insane.
The Warren Commission was ordered to lie.
Yeah.
By people, you know, both Republicans and Democrats were involved in that whole thing.
Right.
But they, it was ordered to lie. And, I mean, here, 3 days after the assassination.
Hey, let me put you on hold a second. Let me put you on hold a second. I know you've been holding on. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back. Got to do this break. We'll come back and finish this up. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipolene and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipolene.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipolene at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Show. We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall.
wall there. It just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal authority is a transition quasi-government until the real government shows up. It is a cynical world that says it's impossible for the Iraqis to run themselves.
Until a real government shows up. Oh, hi, I'm from FedEx. Here's your real government. Can you believe how stupid this guy is, Dave?
No.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
Oh, geez. I mean, when you hear him talk, it's frightening to think. I mean, you hear on one of the advertisements on the network there that you're on, it talks about the flying monkey ride and the dictatorial Bush White House and so forth. It's one thing to have a dictator in anywhere who's got a you know, high degree of intelligence, but, you know, in Bush's case, I don't really believe he has.
I don't either.
A high degree of intelligence. I was going to ask you a question, listening to Rumsfeld. You know, when he said these words, it didn't turn out, quote, as we would have preferred, unquote. My thinking about that, I've been thinking about that as I've been listening to you. And the more I thought about it, the more I wonder, and I'm asking you, do you think he really cared whether there were weapons there or not?
Oh,
the war?
Oh, no. The whole thing, I don't care what anybody in this crappy criminal administration says. This whole thing was a farce, a joke, and a lie. I refuse to believe that we did not know, we being, you know, the people who run this illegal government now, that they absolutely knew precisely and exactly the condition of Saddam's so-called weapons of mass destruction, that they did not exist, they had not existed in any form since 1998, in very minute form since 1992. They knew this. Yes. Every one of these people is lying.
And
every single one.
And with all the thousands of deaths and injuries on both sides, they think that we, the American people, don't have a moral conscience that says, wait a minute, horrible wrong was done here, and this administration did it, and they need to be removed from office. I would prefer that they be impeached for violations of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence that backs up the Constitution.
Well, this is why I call them killers. You know, I have been told by people listen to this program sometimes, Malloy, you go over the top. You use characterizations of these people that are really out there. No, if anything, I keep myself constrained. These are fascist killers who have taken over this country.
When you're presented with the facts and all the evidence that is now in for the American people to hear and listen to and digest, it seems to me that your characterizations are right on.
Yeah. Well, I'm
so sorry. I'm frustrated that you all are coming to an end in 16 or 15 programs or whatever. It's a real...
We'll wind up someplace. You just keep checking at MikeMalloy.com. We'll have a message out there.
Oh, please do, and I will do that.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. You know, it was Rumsfeld who was instrumental during the criminal Ronald Reagan administration in selling weapons to Saddam in order to kill Iranians. Now, that 8-year-long war of attrition is what it finally wound up being. Something like 2 million, or 1 million or 2 million, depending on who you want to believe, Iranians and Iraqis were slaughtered. There was no way either side was going to totally win. But into that stepped Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Oliver North, William Secord. Not William Secord. What was his first name? Every one of them. Elliot Abrams. Every single person who now flits around the Bush administration like flies around a dung heap. All of those people were involved. All of those people were involved in the sale of weapons. The arming of Saddam with some of the most vile, vicious, sick ways of killing other human beings that was known to man at the time other than nuclear weapons. Every single one of them. Rumsfeld is a liar of the highest order. He is a liar on the level of the people who dropped the gas canisters in the death chambers of Auschwitz, Dachau, Treblinka, Bergen-Belsen, on and on. Gas? We didn't gas anybody.
Say something once. Why say it again?
It was smallpox.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new kind of potato will offer consumers a choice between pesticides and genetic engineering. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Ever since the first genetically modified crops were grown in the mid-1980s, their consumption has been a hotly debated issue. Agricultural interests say these new crops are safe. Opponents call them frankenfoods. John Helgeson is a plant pathologist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He works with a team of scientists who recently engineered a potato resistant to late blight, a disease that affects nearly all potato crops in the world. Helgeson says the genetically modified potatoes will eliminate the need for thousands of tons of fungicides sprayed onto potato fields each year.
Well, here in Wisconsin, it's been said that we've used up to 500 tons of fungicides a year. About 80,000 acres will be treated. Just about every commercial acre is treated, depending upon the year, 4 to 10 times.
Helgeson found a potato variety resistant to late blight in Mexico, where the disease originated. The resistant potato was too small to be commercially viable, so he isolated the gene that made it withstand the disease and inserted it into a commercial variety. Helgeson says the engineered potato can be grown without chemical fungicides. He says the question now is one of public acceptance. He wonders whether people will trust the modified potato, and he insists it's only a potato, or prefer to stay with unmodified spuds treated with fungicides. That question won't be answered for at least 5 years, the time it will take for Helgeson and others to get the potato ready to market. He says researchers will use the time to make sure the genetically engineered spuds will be safe for planting and for human consumption. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. I've got to do this. Our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, sent this to me earlier today. And now Simon has sent in an update. The original story is that Bush's militaristic dictatorial buddy in Pakistan, Musharraf, decided to pardon Abdul Qadir Khan, known as the father of that country's nuclear bomb, for selling nuclear secrets to Iran, Libya, and North Korea. Okay? Pervez Musharraf said, okay, he confessed on national television, so we're going to pardon him. This guy was facing the death penalty. Nothing's going to happen. It came out that he sent nuclear secrets to two of the axis of evil, two out of three, Iran and North Korea. Okay? But he's Bush's buddy, and Bush needs Musharraf in order to run that pipeline across Afghanistan and into Pakistan so they can get the oil and natural gas. So, the way The Guardian reported it earlier today, in a dramatic U-turn, Dr. Khan, he's the guy that sold off the nuclear secrets, will now not be prosecuted for his actions, despite a vow last month from Mr. Musharraf to punish these people whom he condemned as enemies of the state. Putting Dr. Khan on trial, however, would have proved difficult for Musharraf's rule. The scientist is regarded as a national hero for developing a nuclear deterrent against India, and his testimony could have resulted in embarrassing revelations about senior government and military officials. Not to mention Rumsfeld, not to mention Cheney. You know, Brown and Root, Halliburton, they have their filthy, dirty fingers in here somewhere. Mohammed Al-Baradi, the International Atomic Energy Authority chief, said today that Dr. Khan would have needed help from many people across the globe to have created this illicit proliferation network. And you can bet your ass, Truth Seeker, that you will find American political operatives, Republicans, involved in that network. Al-Baradi told reporters Dr. Khan was not working alone. Dr. Khan is the tip of the iceberg for us. Okay? The Guardian thing went on to say, Musharraf said he had sought to balance Pakistan's domestic interests and international demands to bring proliferation activities to light when he issued the pardon. Here's somebody who's responsible. Oh, never mind. You get it. I don't have to explain it. Musharraf said that Pakistan will not submit to UN supervision of its weapons. But he added that the International Atomic Energy Administration was welcome to come and discuss the issue with Pakistan. What? What? Isn't that essentially what Saddam Hussein said? What? Hasn't Pakistan threatened its neighbor, India? Doesn't Pakistan have nuclear weapons? Didn't this guy provide nuclear technology to North Korea, Libya, and Iran? Didn't he help them develop weapons of mass destruction? Where is the Bush administration on this one? Well, it's right here. Simon sends this in. CNN is reporting. The Bush administration, well, it says the United States. That means the Bush administration has supported Pakistan's presidential pardon of Abdul Qadir Khan after the father of the nation's nuclear program admitted he gave nuclear weapons technology to other countries. Now, Simon, in his email, on the subject line, he has capitals, WTF. You know what that means. Well, Simon and my senior correspondent, Chris, you guys understand this. There's no WTF here. There's no head scratching. Musharraf is like the Saudi royal family, like the Bin Laden family, is deeply, deeply in business with the Bush crime family. Musharraf is fine until the time comes, like it came for Noriega, like it came for the Shah, like it came for Saddam, like it comes for all of these people who do business with the Republican neo-fascist right in this country, the Bush crime family, the Reagan crime family, the Nixon crime family. These guys are safe until the time comes to get rid of them. So Pervez Musharraf says, oh, okay, well, you know, my orders have come, and my orders are to pardon this guy. I mean, after all, he is my countryman, you know, and I don't like the United States sticking its nose in my business anyway. I have to, you know, Musharraf has made a deal with the devil, just like the rest of these dictators have. Musharraf was not elected. He overthrew the elected government. He's a military dictator, just like Saddam overthrew the government. He was a military dictator, just like Noriega overthrew the government. He was a military dictator. That's who the Bush crime family does business with. Until it's time to get rid of them. So Musharraf, who I mean, Jesus God. And Musharraf, of course, is the one that's going to help us find Osama. Yeah. Okay. So the Bush crime family says, we accept the pardoning of the guy who provided nuclear technology to North by God Korea and to the Islamic Republic of Iran. And yet we invaded and murdered 10,000 Iraqi civilians and slaughtered, offered up as sacrifice, 520 of our own young men and young women? Why? Saddam had nothing. Pakistan exported nuclear weaponry technology. Pakistan has threatened nuclear holocaust against India, and vice versa, but we're talking about Pakistan. Pakistan backs the terrorists in Kashmir. Pakistan backs the terrorists who go into India and slaughter people. Of course, the Hindus respond by slaughtering Muslims. That's not the point. The point, once again, is the astonishing, monumental corruption of this Bush crime family. Page two. Jamie is calling from Blue Ridge, Georgia. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, bud?
Hey, I love your part of my state, pal. I've been on Lake Blue Ridge so many times, I love it up there.
Good deal. It's beautiful up here.
It is. It is
indeed.
Yeah,
I love it. I lived in Atlanta for a long time and just decided to make this my home a couple of years ago, and it's working out great.
Good move.
And a shout out to all the queer boys in Midtown Atlanta, you know, this
yeah,
is
well,
the new place.
There
this
are a couple.
Place, you know, this is the place to come, and you know, we're all kind of moving up here and having a good time and
oh,
opening
really?
Up some antique shops and
oh,
getting married.
Oh my God!
And we're getting married. Oh, good God!
Antique shops, moving into those little mountain communities and fixing up the neighborhoods. Oh my God!
Tearing the hell out of them. Good God.
See, every time you people move in, property rates go up, and I can't buy anything.
that's our hope.
I know. Well, I'm it's good to hear this.
That's
your first...
our hope. Hey, listen, I was just calling to say hello, and I've been listening to your show and for a long time, and I like you, and I'm sorry this business is going to end at the end of the month, but I'll find you.
Yeah, we'll be someplace. You may have to look, but
I'll find you. I'll find you. No worries, because I love what you have to say. I had just a couple of comments.
All right.
One was, what is, hearing George Tenet today and listening to his
his speech. He was giving a speech.
Yeah. His dissertation or whatever it was at Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
Who was sitting behind Colin Powell at the United Nations?
George Tenet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but that just kind of brought to mind this other thought. It was like, I hope George Bush fires him because
mm-hmm.
he will run his mouth like nobody's business.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're right. But they understand when they cut these deals, unless the deals are cut with a Noriega or a Musharraf or a Saddam, when they cut these deals, the Bush crime family, they're not going to toss these guys overboard unless they wander off the reservation on their own, like David Kaye did. David Kaye is already under attack.
He's stuck into mass, though, but go ahead.
John O'Neill, he's another one. What's his name? The intelligence guy, I'm drawing a blank on his name.
CIA?
No. Oh well. It doesn't matter.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't think that that they're going to fire Tenet unless it gets into a real catfight between Rumsfeld and Tenet, because Department of Defense and the CIA have really been at each other's throats ever since the. Rumsfeld was put in charge of the Defense Department. Rumsfeld wants to run everything. He is your typical fascist. A fascist cannot share power. A communist can. A Democrat can. Somebody in representative government. But a fascist cannot share power. And Rumsfeld is an absolute fascist. He wants it all. He wants every bit of it. Yeah. So that's where the problem's going
to
come.
Yeah, I was listening to, I downloaded some of your, I think it was a show from a couple of days ago on IE America Network, and I love the piece where you had the outtake of Rumsfeld saying, "They have the weapons, and we know where they are."
Oh yeah, they're in the grove of palm trees or something.
We know where they are. He said, "I mean, that's definite."
Yeah,
that's definite.
That was then, Jamie. This is now. Everything changes.
Yeah, I know.
We never said it was an imminent threat. We never said. We never said. Right.
Can you believe these guys are killing me?
I know.
Oh my God.
Well, listen. I'm glad you checked in finally, Jamie.
Yeah.
And I hope you're going to call again before our last show. We have 16 shows
left.
Here. All right. Thank
you. Take care now.
All right. You have a nice evening. For those of you who've never been to Blue Ridge, Georgia, trust me, it is gorgeous up there, isn't it, Kathy? Lake Blue Ridge. We went there on what, our fifth, sixth anniversary? Rented a cabin up there on the, what river was it? Etowah? Huh?
No, that was somewhere else.
That was up at the other corner of the state. That's when we went up to Toccoa, Georgia, on the Toccoa River.
But
But we did rent a cabin.
That's where our friend Bill Hedgepeth lives.
Yeah, the writer.
You know, the guy who used to be senior editor at Look.
This is just fascinating, I'm sure.
Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. Well, actually, all I was trying to do there is kill a little bit of time because we have a break, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, then, it was beautiful. I remember we tried to go skiing, but it was too warm up in Sapphire Valley.
So we went on up into North Carolina.
Into Cashiers.
The Cashiers and went skiing.
And did some shopping, and there are some beautiful antique stores up there.
Maybe one of Jamie's, huh? Shout out to all the gay guys in Midtown. You gotta love it, don't you? Why do you lie? Why do you lie? Would you betray your soul? Why do you lie? Why do you lie? Don't let your weakness show. You just might be the last to know. Freedom is such a loaded word. The time of your life can't be had for a song. Why do you lie? Why do you lie? Would you betray your soul? Why do you lie? Why do you lie? Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817 for the Washington Monthly.
you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free, 1-800-205-7067, or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067, or populist.com, or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Boy, we're just about out of time, aren't we? Five before the hour. Once again, excuse me, we're going to leave some folks on hold, and I do apologize for that. Paul is calling from Detroit. Hey, Paul.
Hello, I've got the 30-second egg timer going.
Well, actually 60.
Well, I'm going to maybe 30 seconds. Anyway, you know, referring back to the Globe and Mail article that you were talking about earlier,
about
that's a perfect article for anyone that needs written proof that we have a madman who says God appointed him president.
Yeah, yeah, there's no question. This guy is a sick religious psychopath. He just is. I'm not saying everyone who believes in some sort of religious mythology is a sick psychopath, but Bush is.
Right, and just to add to when, like you were saying earlier, when Bush was speaking to the Canadian Prime Minister, Paul Martin, and Bush was proclaiming that the Lord was on his side and using the F-word, he also, in that article, was verbally attacking the French president.
Right.
And he also, like a true bully, was slurring, purposely slurring the French president's name.
Yeah, yeah, calling him Chirac.
Right.
Yeah. Did you? Are you the one that sent me that article, Paul?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I quick went onto that site, the Globe and Mail, and I found it under the comments section. I had to click around, and I had it printed off, and I sent it to every living person that I know.
Yeah, anybody who kills in the name of God is a psychopath. I don't care if it's Bin Laden or Bush or Hitler or some weenie who walks into a synagogue with a machine gun, or somebody that shoots a church organist in a Baptist church. Anyone who kills... and says, I mean, we put those people in prison unless they are president of the United States, and then we vote them. 50 million of us will try to vote him back into office.
Our forefathers said that we must separate religion and government.
And this is why.
It's a classic example why they did that.
That's it exactly. Hey, listen, thanks,
thank
Paul. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Carol is calling from Flowery Branch. Carol, I just have enough time to say we're not going to get to you tonight. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
You sure?
Well,
you got to call in tomorrow.
I will call you tomorrow because
I want to hear what you got to say about Novak and Valerie Plame and the CIA.
Yeah, and the FBI has some hot tips there.
All right, call us tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Carol. Program tonight produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. Check it out. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. I'll see y'all tomorrow night, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
Just look into my eyes. 'Cause you know I'll tell you.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
No more lies, no more, no more lies.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and